So, I'm going to share with you, I titled His Chosen Child. All right, His Chosen Child. And perhaps man's greatest position or title or where he is placed in the scheme of things cannot be any greater than to be a child of God. I mean, you could maybe somebody could be a CEO, they could be the president of the United States, they could be some wonderful position, some great power position, but there's nothing greater than to be a child of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Think about that. A child of God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth. I mean, when you really think about it, it's mind-blowing. It is truly mind-blowing. And then when we were going over there, over this morning in the garage group, it really touched their hearts. These guys were crying. I mean, the one man said, he says, when I read this, I got misty-eyed. He says, I haven't gotten misty-eyed reading some of the books we've looked at, but this chapter got me. And the other guy said, yeah, me too. Because the book, and I'm going to share some excerpts from the book, Max Lucado. He's a very skilled writer and a communicator, and he makes things really live so you can appreciate points that he makes. Fantastic. But the great thing that he makes in this chapter is that God chose you. You didn't choose him. Now, obviously, we believed and got born again, saved, and got into the family, but the reality of Ephesians, and if you want to go there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, we're going to look at. And I was so blessed when Barney was listening. I was listening to Barney's teaching on this, and he shares this verse as well. And he goes in a little different slant on this subject, which is really good. So I really encourage you to check out his teaching on our website, The Chosen. And it's November 21st, a Monday. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and this is the NLT, the New Living Translation. And here it goes. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now, and I'm going to interrupt the quote here, because you think about that. God loved us and chose us in Christ to be what? Holy and without fault in his eyes. I mean, he could have made us to be anything. and could have had us work very hard for any kind of a relationship or any kind of a salvation, but no, he chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. Let me continue with the quote. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. Isn't that a phenomenal translation there? Really something. And he makes a comment from this quote. He says, there is something in you that God loves. Not just appreciates or approves, but loves. You cause his eyes to widen, his heart to beat faster. He loves you and he accepts you. Isn't that fantastic? And that's a quote out of the book, Max Lucado. You know, we are a result of God's good pleasure. It was his good pleasure to make us his family, his kids, a child in his family. Another quote, Max says, you are loved by your maker not because you try to please him and succeed or fail to please him and apologize, but because he wants to be your father. Mm-hmm. He just wants to be a father. That's our God. He wants to be our father. Pretty amazing, huh? Mm-hmm. So, like I said, at this garage group, we really got into this, recognizing this. And for these guys, these are grown men, you know, in their 60s and 70s, that have lived life and experienced quite a bit, and yet they're seeing the Word open up to them, the grace of God, and seeing these great truths just melt their hearts. And it's really neat to see that. I was blown away too, seeing how that works. Now, let me say this. In his book, and in this particular chapter, Max talks about and emphasizes that we are adopted, that God adopted us. And it's an interesting word study. I'm not going to get into it. I think many of us have been taught that this is a sonship, right? That we have been not necessarily adopted in the sense we understand it, but that we've been made sons by birth and rather than adoption. But I tell you what, most Christians will, in most of your translations, have the word adoption in there. And it was interesting because I opened up to them and shared, okay, that's how you see it, but you're still made a son or a child of God. And I was able to share some scriptures, and I want to share these scriptures with you. So I don't want to contradict anybody, but I hope this just opens more of the Word so that we can see the bigness of our relationship with God. Okay? And I believe we are born into God's family. So in 1 Peter 1:23, familiar scripture, I think many of you have heard this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So that term, being born again, we use that term when somebody's saved, or we say you're born again, or the word born again really is born from above, born from above. And so you're born into a family, and it's incorruptible seed. And that seed, and we'll see some verses here, is spirit. We receive the Spirit of God, right? And that's what this seed is all about, this incorruptible seed. It's the gift of Holy Spirit. And that is what makes us permanently children of God. Yes, maybe we are adopted. I don't know. But I know for what the Word says here, that it's birth by seed. Now, if you remember in John, if you want to go there, John 3:3 is the record with Jesus talking to who? Nicodemus. Who was Nicodemus?
It
wasn't him, honey. Nicodemus was one of the great Pharisees, one of the big leaders of the church. And he comes to Jesus when? By night, right? He comes by night and asks Jesus some questions about getting saved and such. And so, what does verse 3 say? Who's got it and reads loud here? Al?
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
And then, okay, now Nicodemus scratching his head, born again, how do you get born the first time? So verse 4, do you have it, Daniel? Verse 4, please.
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
That's a head scratcher, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Wow. So he's looking at a birth, a natural birth. But Jesus explains it. And Tom, you want to read verse 5 for us, nice and loud, please?
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Okay, so we know water is the first birth, the natural birth, the fluid, the mother, the water breaks. And so that's the natural birth. You got to have that first birth. But the second birth is what? Spirit. There it is. There it is, the Spirit. You're born into that family. And then finally, verse 6, Jeannie.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, it is spirit.
Yeah, I mean, there it is, flesh and spirit. So, you know, as a child of God, you and I are born of the Spirit of God. And what we know and appreciate from God's Word is that we can operate manifestations of the Spirit. We can speak in tongues. Now, the Spirit, you can't see, hear, smell, taste, or touch, but you can operate manifestations. And so when you speak in tongues, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're
born again.
You got Spirit in you. Now, people obviously can be born again without speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. But what a wonderful privilege it is to speak in tongues and know without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, the greatest day of my life, night of my life, was in the middle of a cow pasture in Ohio, speaking in tongues at night for the first time. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was born again. I was the child of God. And that was back in 1967, I guess it was, a long time ago. But you know what? I'm still a child of God. I can still operate the Spirit of God, right? Praise the Lord. So, 1 John 4:13. 1 John 4:13. And this says, we know that we dwell in him and he in us because what? He hath given us of his Spirit. All right, so God dwells in us. We dwell in him. We've got this wonderful connection, relationship, and it's because of the Spirit of God. It's pretty neat, huh? So it's tremendous. And see, this needs to be our identity. And, you know, we've gotten into how important our identity in Christ is, right? Mm-hmm. If we just really can focus, really grab on to who we are in Christ and identify with him, we can walk with great power, with great love, great conviction, great blessing to many, many people. I'd like to share a quote from Max Lucado here in this particular book I've been mentioning to you. Your identity is not in your possessions, talents, tattoos, kudos, or accomplishments. Nor are you defined by your divorce, deficiencies, debt, or dumb choices. You are God's child. You get to call him Papa. You may approach God with freedom and confidence, Ephesians 3:12. You receive the blessings of his special love, 1 John 4:9 through 11, and provision, and he quotes Luke, and you will inherit the riches of Christ and reign with him forever, Romans 8:17. The adoption is horizontal as well as vertical, he goes on to say. But let me jump down to this other paragraph. Rather than conjure up reasons to feel good about yourselves, trust God's verdict. If God loves you, you must be worth loving. If he wants to have you in his kingdom, then you must be worth having. God's grace invites you, no, requires you to change your attitude about yourself and take sides with God against your feelings of rejection. That's a good, bold statement, isn't it? Here's another wonderful quote by Max. My child, I want you in my new kingdom. This is a poem, I guess, he wrote. I have swept away your offenses like the morning clouds, your sins like the morning mist. I have redeemed you. The transaction is sealed. The matter is settled. I, God, have made my choice. I choose you to be part of my forever family. Isn't that great? And then he goes on to say, let these words cement in your heart a deep, satisfying, fear-quenching confidence that God will never let you go. You belong to him. Another wonderful quote here. To live as God's child is to know at this very instant that you are loved by your Maker, not because you try to please him and succeed or fail to please him and apologize, but because he wants to be your father. We saw that. Nothing more. All your efforts to win his affection are unnecessary. All your fears of losing his affection are needless. You can no more make him want you than you can convince him to abandon you. The sonship is irreversible. You have a place at his table. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. Well, I'd like to close out, and I think this is a great section to close out with what we've been looking at tonight. And it's in 1 John chapter 3. So let's go there. 1 John chapter 3. And we'll close with this wonderful verse here. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And some of the translation says,
children of God.
Yeah, children of God. And we are.
And we are.
Mm-hmm. And we are. Some of the translations have that.
Exclamation point.
Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that fantastic? Mm-hmm. That's our hope. We're a child of God, and our great hope is that we will see him as he is, and we'll be as he is when he comes back to gather us together. So, Father, thank you for calling us to your family, for choosing us to be born again of your Spirit. To have the new birth in us is such a privilege, Father, and to be called a child of God, there's no higher calling, no higher title that we could have than to be your son, your daughter. So thanks for choosing us, Father, and may we rise up to who you've called us to be, that we can walk with great confidence and boldness as your child and just love people and hold forth your words so the world can once again see the true God and his love manifested. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.